this morning's message, Pastor Steve continues the theme of having clear vision in the year 2020. This message is entitled, Bartimaeus, Lord, I want to see. Listen in.
As we take our seats, let's take a copy of God's Word, turn to Mark chapter 10. We're continuing our series 2020 and 2020. But before we look at the text of Mark chapter 10 and read it and study it and let it study us, I invite that we all pray and ask the Holy Spirit who inspired his word to guide us. For Father, I'm not worthy to proclaim your word. I ask, however, that you would anoint me as your vessel and that what you have in mind would go forth, that you would prepare the fallow ground, that we would all desire to have better spiritual eyesight this year than ever before, that where we've lost some of our acuity, that we might regain it, and that you might be glorified by the revival you're going to send to all of our hearts and lives. For we prayed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And again, we all say, Amen. So we're in Mark chapter 10 today. I had not intended to speak on this until Friday, but in reading the text, it seemed to fit very well with the whole 2020 concept to talk about a blind man who received his sight. I think that all of us probably have been to an optometrist or an ophthalmologist for an eye test. And if you have, you've probably seen, well, let's put it up. A chart like this. How many of you are familiar with this chart? I know that many of us are. We're wearing glasses, so they didn't just get dispensed easily. But even if you have wonderful vision, you probably have experienced this chart. Here on line number 8, we have the desired vision, which is 20/20. That means that from 20 feet, you can see something that other people can see. It's kind of an average, a balance, a norm. Down here at the lower part of the chart, lines 9, 10, 11, those are for individuals who have eyes like eagles or like hawks. They just are, you know, great. Their eyesight has not been compromised. They're people from West Virginia who just look at the beautiful mountains and they've never had any eye strain, you know. But then as we get older, usually it goes up, and if you get there to line number 1 or 2, that's 20 over 200 or 20 over 100, you're now getting into the area where you should not be driving a car. You are a danger to yourself and everybody else on the road, unless you get your cataracts taken care of, glaucoma, whatever is causing the problem. So today we want to talk about how that we can all have that spiritual 20/20 vision. And that's our goal, to have spiritual eyesight that is pleasing to God in this new year. And I pray that we would all have our vision renewed. How many of you want to have that as your goal? A renewed vision, a new focus, a new direction for a new year. So we're going to look at Mark chapter 10, 46 through 52. And as I read it, I'm going to make some comments on it. Then we're going to actually get into the meat of the message, so it's going to be a little informal today. It says there in the 46th verse of Mark 10, reading out of the NIV, then they came to Jericho. And in the biblical times, specifically New Testamentary times, there were two cities of Jericho. There was the old Jericho with the crumbled walls from the days of Joshua. There was a new Jericho with probably what we would call a shopping mall and things of that nature. Very beautiful. They were going out of the old Jericho and they were coming into the new Jericho when they encountered, and I say they, Jesus and his disciples encountered, and the large crowd encountered, a blind man named Bartimaeus, and parenthetically it says, which means son of Timaeus, and he was sitting, and that Greek word for sitting means he normally sat there. That was his place, that was his saved place as he begged. He was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard, and you know that sometimes when people have some lacking in one of their senses, the others are augmented. And so this man, though he could not see at all, apparently could hear very clearly. He heard the rumbling, the news that it was Jesus of Nazareth who was coming. And it says he began to shout, which means that he shouted over and over again. And as he shouted, these are the words that he proclaimed: Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The word mercy means that he's looking for a one-time experience. He knows exactly what he wants. He's not ambiguous about what he's going to ask Jesus if Jesus happens to hear his cry and stop to help him. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David comes from the book of Isaiah. Only one other person in the New Testament used it referring to Jesus. That was the Syrophoenician woman. And this man, he says, have mercy on me. Now many rebuked him. And it means that as many times as Bartimaeus cried out to God, that many times people told him, pardon the expression, but they told him to shut up. Just be quiet. You are ruining the parade. We don't need to hear from you. You are probably sick because of the fact that you have sinned. Do not bother Jesus and do not rain on this parade. Many rebuked him over and over and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more. So get this picture. It says that he called out an equal number of times. The people said, quit calling out, but he shouted out the more, which means he upped his tempo. And instead of just simply saying, Jesus, have mercy on me once, he began to really pick it up fast, and the people could not shut him up. He just continued. He shouted all the more, and this is what he shouted: Son of David, have mercy on me. And then Jesus stopped. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Jesus stopped. Isn't that meaningful to you? 7.7 billion people are on the planet now, but when one needy person cries out in faith, Jesus stops. Jesus stopped and said, call him. Kind of embarrassing to be the individuals to tell him to be quiet and now have the master say, you call it. You tried to shut him up, but I wanted to do a work in his life. Pick him up. Help him get to me. So they called the blind man and they said this very hypocritical statement: cheer up. On your feet. He's calling for you. Don't you think that choked in their throat? They didn't want to do that. Throwing his cloak aside, that is so meaningful. In that time, it is reputed that there were blind people who wore special cloaks, and that those cloaks identified them by their coloration. Like a person today tapping along the street with a white stick. Imagine if a person suddenly hears a cry, come to me, and he gets his white stick and breaks it over his knee and throws it away. What does that say to you? He doesn't think he's going to need a white stick anymore. Something's going to happen when he gets to that individual who's called his name. Jesus took the cloak and he threw it away. He said, I'm not going to be needing that anymore on my return journey. I'm going to be healed because I'm going to encounter the master. And nothing wrong with his legs. It says he jumped to his feet, which means that with alacrity, he rose from where he was. He was excited about this. And when he got to Jesus, Jesus asked him this question that he asks of all of us today: what do you want me to do for you? A lot of people don't know what they want the Lord to do for them. They can't narrow it down. But this man said, Lord, have mercy on me, which means he had one thing in mind. The man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Now, there are three words for teacher in the New Testament. There is just the teacher, which would be like an assistant professor. Then there is rabbi, which like an associate professor. And then there is rabboni, which is like full professor, chairman of the department. And the name rabboni was only used by two people: Bartimaeus, who was blind, and Miriam, when Jesus rose from the dead, Mary Magdalene, when Jesus rose from the dead. Both of them said rabboni, which means, O great teacher. Jesus received a promotion because they, though they were blind to this life, were very clear in their spiritual outlook that Jesus was able to do what he said that he would do. And immediately it says, the man received his sight For Jesus had said, go, your faith has healed you. The word healed here is sozo, which is, well, remember the 10 lepers? It says that they left Jesus, 9 of them, and never came back, but one of them returned. And Jesus said the others were healed. It just means they got what they asked for. They were healed of leprosy. But this man came back, and sozo means he was healed in body, mind, and in spirit. Bartimaeus was healed from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, his spiritual heart, his spiritual mind, anything that was out of kilter, anything that was out of alignment. He received a new 20/20 vision. And as a result of that, he followed Jesus along the road. That's the word of God. Now, most of us are born with our 5 senses, and over time they may diminish. And I'm not going to ask you to speak out loud. If you had to compromise and give up one sense, which would it be? We were talking about that in our cross-training class just a few moments ago. Some people had been to the first service, some like you in the second service, hadn't heard the message, but we just got to talking a little bit about what of the various senses would you be willing to give up. My grandmother Rogers did not wish to give up her hearing. She was born with good hearing, but the doctors and the psychologist had a couple of opinions. One was that at the age of 50, she began working in a meat market and the grinding of the saw was too high pitched and probably took away her hearing. The other was that she had been raised in a home where there were a lot of things spoken that she did not want to hear. And she just got to the place that even though her ears seemed to work normally, she didn't want to hear what was in the world around her. So she went psychologically deaf. I don't know, but she lost her hearing. Years ago, we were going past a pig farm. Myself and some of the deacons and the elders of the church back in Chicago, and I don't know, it was 25 years ago or so. And one of them said, ooh, can you smell those pigs? Aren't they nasty? And that was the first time I realized that my sense of smell had gone downhill. I could not smell. I could not, I guess I couldn't taste a pig either. Bacon had lost its taste. The fact of the matter is that I had lost my senses in those areas without even being alert to it. And for 3 different times I've gone and had extensive tests done and nobody seems to be able to restore it. But I guess of all the things I would want to lose, those 2 are fine. I can live with that. My grandmother couldn't hear. Some individuals can't feel. You know, in the Bible, leprosy is symbolical of a spiritual condition in which we become desensitized. And those lepers, we think of them as having all kinds of sores, and they did, but basically it desensitized their feelings to where they could no longer sense that they were on fire or they were burning. And so their bodies were sometimes compromised and destroyed without them even knowing it. But here is a man who's blind. For me, I don't know about you, of all the senses, if I was asked, I certainly wouldn't say I want to be blind. I love to see the beautiful sunsets, don't you? Love to be able to read a book. Love to see the face of my wife and of my children. But think of it. This man was blind. It does not appear that he was born blind. It appears that he lost his sight because the Greek word that's used for Jesus healing him is that he regained his sight. So he had memories, just like some of us have memories of times that we have been in a revival mode. Have you ever? And don't raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass anyone here at this juncture. But have you ever loved God? Have you ever been in love with Jesus? Have you ever seen Jesus more clearly than you do right now? We use in the church oftentimes the word backsliding. You know what backsliding is? Very simply, if you ever were more in love with Jesus, if you were ever more on fire than you are right now, to that extent you've backslidden. To that extent, we have lost our eyesight, our ability to see Jesus in all of his fullness. And I don't know about you, but this year, and it's easy to remember because it's 2020, I want to regain at the very least what I've had at those high peak moments. It's not lost because we're bad people or we get into all kinds of sin. We just get interested in other things, and before you know it, we're sitting on the roadside begging. We are children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and yet we don't have any access to Him because we've just been satisfied with mediocrity. And so it is that we are told about this man who had his sight, apparently lost it over time, but he had an encounter with the living God. Like most blind people, he had an amazingly loud voice that he cultivated over years of asking for alms. And he would say to people in that loud, resounding voice, "Could you spare a mite or a shekel? Won't you help a poor blind beggar?" But the theology of that time was like the theology of some people who are into certain aspects of the gospel that is no gospel. Back then they thought, well, if you are sick or you are poor, it's your fault. Which was very convenient because now you don't want to get in the way of God if God is trying to discipline somebody. So they didn't help blind people very much because they were being disciplined by God. But this man had not been disciplined by God. This man had been allowed to be the way that he was for such a time as this, so that his life story could become a miracle. My prayer is that all of our stories this year might become a miracle of not only just spiritual healing, but also of physical healing and vice versa. And so this large crowd is following Jesus on the 18-mile trip from Jerusalem up to Jericho. The disciples are following. They don't understand what is going on. In fact, a bunch of them have gotten together and tried to get signed up to be the top cabinet officers. James and John wanted to be Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense, and the guys got mad at them, not because of the fact that they thought that was dishonorable. They got mad at them because of the fact that they hadn't thought of it first. And the crowd, they were not really all that excited about anything but what Jesus could do for them. They had heard that Jesus had fed people for free. Who doesn't want to be helped for free? That word free gets a lot of people hooked in. So here's Bartimaeus sitting at the road. His name, interestingly, means son of honor. Is it very honorable to be a blind man? But see, he was named not for what he was named for who he would become, like many people in the Bible. You are a child of honor today as you stand before Almighty God. And his name means humility. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." He was sitting there saying, "God, purify my heart." And he hears that Jesus is coming by. And his hearing causes him to believe that something great can happen. And so it is that he prayed, "Oh God, help me to recover my sight." We've talked about this before, but you know, back in the Old Testament, there's the occasion when the children of Israel disobey God, and they're bit by these asps, these poisonous snakes of the Sinai Desert. We've observed before that one of the symptoms of being bitten by these snakes is that you quickly become blind. And yet, what was the thing that God told them to do? Build a pole, an 8-foot pole, do your trigonometry. A couple of million of people out in the desert cannot see an 8-foot pole, especially when they're bitten by poisonous snakes whose first toxin is to take away your eyesight. But they were told, "Look and live." That's why the songwriter says, "It was there by faith I received my sight." Look and live. Sometimes we have to just look toward Jesus. We don't have any promise of sight. We don't have any promise of renewal. We don't have any promise of revival. But we take that first look and say, "God, I believe you have great and wonderful things for me, great and wonderful things above that which I can ask or even believe for." Amen. And so he looked. He screeched at Jesus. There's nothing wrong with his vocal cords. Cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And he believed. Jesus said, "These signs will follow those who believe." And he believed. And as he cried out to Jesus, oh, I love this simple statement. Jesus stopped. Can you say that with me? Jesus stopped. He paused. He didn't make it difficult. Today we're down more than I've ever been in probably decades in terms of staff and personnel and so forth because of a variety of different things, kind of doing it by myself, and I don't mind. But this morning when I came in bright and early to tend to various things, somebody wanted to talk to me, and I had to say to them, listen, I don't mean to be rude. I want to talk to you, but you're going to have to walk with me around the church if you want to talk, because I've got a lot of things I've got to do. But Jesus didn't have to do that. Jesus stopped. He didn't give him the bum's rush. He stopped, and he asked a very important question. What do you want me to do for you? If Jesus were to ask us that question today, what one thing do we want him to do for us? And they brought the man to Jesus. He threw his cloak aside, jumped to his feet, came to the Lord, and he said, Lord, the one thing I want to receive is not riches. It's not a new girlfriend. It's not a healed body. It's not that I might get a good job, good paying job. It's not even that you would save my soul. I want to be able to see. I want to have renewed vision. I want to see you the way I once saw you. I want to see the sunsets the way I once saw them. So many people come to church and they don't exactly know what in the world they want. It's just out of habit, and there's nothing wrong. That's a pretty good habit, I think. I'm glad you're here today in the midst of snow and other things. Congratulations. But really, what is the sense of desperation that we have where we say, Lord, if you don't do this, I cannot go on. I need you to do a work in my heart and in my life. Back when Toys R Us was the place to go at Christmas time, it's now no more, but they had, I remember, an ad in the paper in the town where I lived, and it was, put your name, you know, into a raffle pile and we'll pull the name out, and whoever's name is pulled out, that individual is going to win 15 minutes in the store with an empty cart. That child can go around anywhere they want in the store and can get anything they want, and whatever they can bring to the cash register in 15 minutes, that they can take home with them and they don't have to pay a dime. Wouldn't you love to be that child? But this was such a wonderful thing for this child. The child got all mixed up, and by the time 15 minutes was up, that poor little boy only had like three things up front. If I could only be able to call out to God, well, you and I can call out to God, but we better have our minds made up as to what we want. The crowd was confused. They didn't know what they want. The disciples were confused. They didn't know what they really wanted. But this man knew what he wanted. He wanted to receive his sight, his physical sight, and his spiritual sight. When Jesus appeared to the disciples after the resurrection, remember, Thomas wasn't there. And Thomas said that unless he could see the resurrected Christ, he wasn't going to believe. And then Jesus showed up and he went right to Thomas. He ignored all the rest. And he said to him these words, because you have seen me, you have believed, but blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believe. It was there by faith I received my sight. Can we see Jesus? You and I are not in a day where we can see Jesus physically. I would love to have walked with him beside the Sea of Galilee, wouldn't you? But we can't do that now. But Peter later on writes about this same thing. He says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. So he heals the blind man. And Bartimaeus follows him in the way. Jesus says, go, your faith has healed you. I don't know about you, but there are times that we tend to doubt, do we not? There's Billy Graham and an individual he started ministry out with named Charles Templeton, a Canadian. Billy Graham was the lesser of the two in terms of preaching and results, people liking him. Charles Templeton was born with a golden tongue. He was highly intelligent. He was gifted in ever so many areas. One day he said, Billy, I don't see it anymore. I don't see it anymore. I can't be a preacher anymore. I don't believe it myself anymore. Billy Graham was just completely blown out of the saddle by that because the sun rose and set in Charles Templeton. Charles Templeton was the individual who was the mentor. In fact, Billy's faith almost just went down the drain until one night he was out walking in Northern California and he came across a stump and he bowed down. And I've heard him say this before when he was alive. At that particular moment, he cried out to God and said, God, I really don't know as much as Charles does. But one thing I do know is I know that you are the God who changes lives. And I'm going to stake the rest of my life upon that reality. And of course, the world has been changed. Many people have been saved. People in this very room have been influenced by the fact that an individual said, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm not going to follow the crowd. I'm going to do what is the right thing to do. So it was that blind Bartimaeus, who, by the way, the very fact that we're given his name in the Bible indicates that he was well known by the early church. This man was completely healed and he followed Jesus in the way. How far did he go? Some people say that he went all the way to the cross with Jesus. Some say he went to the resurrection with Jesus. Some say that he was in the upper room. These are all legends. Some say that he obeyed the admonition to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all of creation. But it seems obvious that he was known to the early church. And after 2,000 years, what is remarkable is that we have this story here. A story of a faith that is an abiding faith, a seeing faith in Jesus Christ. I want to conclude by saying that Jesus is passing through our Jericho right now. He is passing through, and maybe we're sitting there and we can't hear clearly, but he is asking us, what is it that you really need as we call out his name? And our formula should be great Rabbi Rabboni. That's the name that he used for Jesus. Rabboni, I want to be able to see. And like Bartimaeus, we need to follow our Lord. I ask you, do you want your vision to be 2020 this year? Do you want it to be a 2020 vision from this day forward? We read over in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. You're encouraged to fix your eyes upon Jesus this year. I've heard this story and I conclude with it, and it has alternative endings. I've heard it given two different ways. Out in Montana, there is this rancher who is out walking and he finds a little eaglet. A little eagle that has fallen out of the nest, and he's able to put on leather gloves and pick it up and take it back to his ranch where he has not a whole lot of birds. In fact, all he has are chickens. And he takes that little eaglet and he puts it in among the chickens and hopes it will survive. The first alternative ending is that that little eaglet pecks at the corn and anything that is down there, and he looks around and having no mirror, he believes that he is a chicken. In fact, the chickens affirm that. They say to him over and over again, you are just a chicken. In fact, one day he hears a screech in the skies and he looks up and there is a huge eagle flying around and he says, what's that? And the chickens all squawk, oh, that is a great eagle. It is the master bird of the universe. But keep looking down here at the ground and the corn because you will never become like that. The alternative ending is that the eaglet is there and he knows there's something desperately wrong. He doesn't belong in that barnyard, but he doesn't know why. And the chickens are all squawking to him that he belongs there and should just give up this idea of nobility, that he was made for greater things. But one day he hears a cry in the sky and he looks up and it's an eagle and something stirs in him that says, this is what you were made to be. You were made to be able to fly. You were able to live a miraculous life, and takes off and joins what in the story is said to be his mother, I don't know. It could be a true story. It could not be a true story. It could be a metaphor of life. But I do know this. You and I have a choice as to whether we want to live in the barnyard and not see clearly, because chickens don't have good vision. I've owned chickens. They are not the brightest creatures in God's world, universe. And furthermore, they have an eyesight that looks right down there at the corn. That's all they can see. I have never had an eagle as a pet, but I've seen them in the wild. And you know the chart that we had? Their vision acuity is down here. And my prayer is that I will have that kind of acuity in my spiritual eyesight for this year, but more than that, that you will as well. Because how many of us believe that God has great and mighty things for us? But we need to open our eyes and we need to see the grandeur of what God has for every single person. Yesterday in our men's prayer time, as usual, we were singing some hymns and people get to choose the hymns. And one was by Charles Wesley. And I just made the comment, Charles Wesley wrote 7,000 hymns. And he didn't write the music, he wrote the words. He was a poet. Great music, Charles Wesley, 7,000. Figure it out how long he lived. He wrote, I think, like 10 poems a day to be able to keep up that pace. It's unbelievable. Until you can to Fanny Crosby. Anybody heard of Fanny Crosby? And of course, Fanny Crosby was what? She was blind. Well, she wasn't born blind. For 8 weeks, she had her sight, but then a doctor put drops in her eyes that were the wrong formula, and she instantly became blind, never saw again, but she didn't become bitter. She became better. She was used by God. She also wrote poems. But you know what her signature is? Her signature, in not every hymn, but many of them, is sight. It is her hope that she will see God. It is her belief that she can see God here and now in this life as Bartimaeus saw Jesus. She wrote the hymn that has to do with this whole theme this morning. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. Sight. Do we want to really see Jesus? Do we want to see him in all his glory? A group of us are going over to Israel next month. We're not going to see Jesus over there because you and I see him by faith here and now. And he said, blessed are those who, having not seen me, still believe in me. We are like blind Bartimaeus. We want to regain our sight for this new year. So I'm going to ask you to just stand to your feet. And I'm going to ask Brenda to lead us in that old hymn. You'll see the words up on the screen. It's the story of Bartimaeus, and we will respond to it after we have sung the hymn.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling. Savior, Savior.
sing the last two verses, you hear the voice of Jesus calling you. The voices of our inner man, our inner woman are saying, be quiet. Don't get carried away with this. Quit ruining the parade. Have a little bit of decorum. Jesus doesn't want to talk to you, but that's a lie. Jesus does. He's prepared to stop the parade for only one person who will believe. And you're here today, and I don't know, something in the message, something earlier in the service spoke to you about regaining our vision, your vision for this year, and having sung the first two verses of this hymn, you feel something in your heart, a requirement to respond. That's why we have an altar. We urge you to come up and just spend some time here in prayer. You can stand, you can kneel, you can sit, however you want to, but just for a few moments as we are singing the final verses of this chorus, would you just begin to step out and would you come and join me here? I'm already here. I need it too. So let's sing verse 3 if we could.
Yes. Trusting only in thy merit.
Amen.
Lord, I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit.
Save
me by thy grace.
Some of the rest of you come and help us to pray. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Glory be to your name. Glory be to your name. While we're still worshiping the Lord, the people up front can remain where they are. Wherever you are is fine. You can make an altar anywhere. But while our eyes are closed, our physical eyes, sometimes that's why we ask people, close your eyes. There's nothing mystical about that. But it just shuts out the world we're used to and lets us focus in on the world that we want to be part of. You're here today. Listen, you've been needing Jesus for a long time. Let me be very blunt about this. You need to come to Christ like Bartimaeus did, as Lord and Savior. And the moment he sees your hand outstretched, your desire to really mean business, you know what Jesus will do? He'll stop and he'll wait for you. He'll motion you over. He'll put his arm around you. He will save you. He'll physically heal you. He'll spiritually heal you. He'll do a mighty work in your life. But you've got to be as desperate as Bartimaeus. Is there anybody here who's desperate today and says, I need God? Listen, I've messed around long enough. I need God in my heart, and in my life. Please pray for me. Just lift your hand wherever you are. Most important thing is God will see your hand. It doesn't make so much difference if I do or somebody that brought you does. But right now where you are, just reach out the other hand. Lift your hands to God if you're here and you need Jesus in a special way today. Let us have a concluding prayer over you. For Lord God, we come before you right now. And if we know our hearts, we want and desire you. But too many other things are getting into our view. Too many things are clouding our vista. There's too much fog. Oh God, we come before you, however, today and say, if there is one thing we can ask for today, it's that we might see. That we might see Jesus. That we might be able to join him on the pathway wherever he's going. That we might be his disciples. And so God, the first step there is that we might be forgiven. And then when we are forgiven, God can begin to do a great work in our hearts and lives. So we confess that we need forgiveness. We come to you individually and collectively. And we pray, God, that you would give us a new lease on life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that as we leave here today, it would be to walk in a newness of life we've never had before, at least to this intensity. These things we pray in Jesus' mighty name, and we'll be careful to give you the glory. And all of God's people say, can we give the Lord some praise as we go? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.